Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. White Sox are back home tonight, back on NBC Sports Chicago, and let's hope it's a lot shorter than the last game we aired. The world champs are in town as Verlander and the Stros take on Ricky's boys who do not quit. Baseball night in Chicago begins our coverage in a half hour. Jason and Stoney have the call at 7. And leading off for your Chicago Cubs, center fielder Albert Almora Jr. Thank goodness. For the second straight game, Joe Maddon puts Almora at the top of the lineup. Will Ian Happ get a chance at that spot again? Ever? Meanwhile, Jake Arrieta strikes out 10 Pirates last night for the Phillies. Is anyone regretting signing Yu Darvish instead? And this time next week, the Bears will have introduced their first-round draft pick. We are 6 days from the NFL draft. Will Ryan Pace have to move up for a third straight year to get the player he wants? Or could he move down in the first round for the first time in his career? And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a good week. You're ready for a great weekend. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show. From the Windy City Gridiron, you can also see his work on The Athletic and Pro Football Weekly. He's making his STL debut. He is Robert Zaglinski. Good to have you here. All right. Ben Finfer, also doing great work from The Athletic, is Lauren Commotore. And she's a whole lot friendlier than John Greenberg. All right. White Sox back on the diamond tonight. Hopefully, this game will take less than the 5 hours and 48 minutes it took to play the game the other day in Oakland. A lot of stories around this team the past 24 hours or so. For the latest, we go to Guaranteed Rate Field. We bring in our Chuck Garfine. All right, our Chuck, let's start. Tyler Saladino is now a Brewer for cash considerations. Cash to the A's for Trace Thompson back to the South Side. Your thoughts on those two moves?
Good moves all the way around, I'd say. Tyler Saladino wasn't playing here, and they need some outfield depth. Ryan Cordell was a guy that if Adam Engel wasn't doing the job, they could have pulled him from AAA, although Cordell was struggling. Well, now he's out for 2 months with a broken clavicle. So Trace Thompson is a guy they're clearly familiar with. Trace is here. He's not starting tonight, but he's available to come off the bench, and he admits he was devastated when the White Sox traded him a few years ago. He was signed, drafted by the White Sox out of high school. He thought he'd play his whole career here, and he came up a few years ago, and he looked like the real deal. Then he gets traded in that Todd Frazier trade in the offseason. But this is a new opportunity for him, and he is not sure how many more opportunities he's going to have. He's 27 years old, but the White Sox are looking at him as potentially someone who could, at the very least, be a fourth outfielder, play some left field, or if Adam Engel continues to struggle, he could end up being the center fielder the rest of the way. So we'll see what happens with that. Trace Thompson, a great guy, and good to see him back with the White Sox.
All right, Carlos Rodon in the ballpark tonight. What is the latest on his extensive rehab?
Yeah, so he came here because tomorrow he's going to see his doctor, the doctor here in Chicago. He feels great. He will very likely then go back to Arizona, and he'll be taking part in extended spring training. Soon after that, minor league rehab assignments, and he's expected to come off the DL the end of May. It's a 60-day disabled list, so if all things go according to plan, Rodon could be back here with the White Sox at the end of May. So that would be an encouraging sign for him if he could get back by the end of May. I think this rotation can probably use that.
All right, we'll obviously be glued to tonight's Sox-Astros game with you, Stoney, and Jason, but we'll also have an eyeball on Michael Kopech's start in Indianapolis tonight. Any way he could make the 2.5-hour jaunt up I-65 and get called up if he has another stellar start?
Yeah, that's like the obvious thing people are wondering. You know, like, he's so close mile-wise, distance-wise, to maybe, White. You know, he's in Indianapolis. Why don't you just come up here and join the team afterwards? But that just goes against from what the White Sox are wanting to do with him. Even if he throws a no-hitter, I don't think he'd be coming up. Okay, if he throws a no-hitter, maybe he'll come up. They want him to work on his changeup. They're not rushing things with him. And I don't think that has anything to do with the plan with Michael Kopech coming up to the majors, the fact that he's so close. Now, Miguel Gonzalez and Carson Fulmer are struggling, but the White Sox, Renteria and Han were talking about Fulmer today, and you know they have the luxury, if you want to call it that, to let him, you know, take his lump, so to speak, and then find a way to get out of his struggles. So they're being patient with him, but I don't see Michael Kopech starting. I can see him coming up May or June, late May, early June, but I don't see it happening anytime very soon.
All right, Chuck, have a good broadcast. All right, buddy, we'll see you.
All right, thank you.
All right, here's our Ink and Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Should the White Sox call Michael Kopech if he pitches well tonight in Indy? Yes or no? How would you answer that question?
I would say yes. I think he's probably ready to pitch even if he doesn't perform well tonight in his game. He's got to be better than one of the guys they have there. Of course, you're making that call decision independent of how bad Gonzalez or Fulmer is. But you want him up there. You want him working with Don Cooper. I say bring him up as soon as possible.
I say no. I think it, like Chuck said, it goes against everything that the White Sox have, you know, preached during this rebuild. They don't want to rush anyone.
Patience.
Yeah.
I say why not? You call him up and you see what you have, and it's a year that you're not really going to care about where you're contending. You want to develop your players. You want to get Kopech up as soon as possible.
Yes, the only problem is I don't want him to hit any type of the Super 2. Like, I'm good.
Well, if you're talking about Super 2, then you're waiting until probably early July to make sure.
So what? What am I rushing?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah.
What?
I mean,
think about it. So
right.
Well, you know why? You do want him at some point to work with Cooper. I mean, that's a big deal. Like, I know he's working on some of his arsenal at AAA, but there is an advantage to him pitching in the majors if there's nothing more to gain in AAA.
Not if he's getting his brains beaten in, and we've seen guys who throw hard and look like they're great until they develop. Stay loyal to your individualized player plan that they set up. Don't exceed Super 2. Think 2013-14 Cubs. They left all those guys down there and said,
you're always thinking 2013, 2014.
Yeah, because you and I were watching minor league baseball.
Still love
so,
it.
Again, he's a stud. He's going to be a good pitcher. Two more months, for me, does nothing to inhibit his growth. Don't you agree?
Totally. I mean, there's still some things that he can work on there. He can limit his walks a little bit more. And I think there's just no reason to rush him at all and kind of put him in a situation that he might be a little uncomfortable in.
All right, let's talk about the Cubs lineup. Weather permitting, they will play in Colorado tonight against the Rockies. And Albert Elmora Jr. will make his second consecutive start at the top of the Cubs lineup and play center field. Javi Baez will bat second. Same lineup that they went with yesterday in the win over the Cardinals. Ben, I am a big proponent of saying, Elmora, listen, kid, we're going to give you the next couple weeks. You're going to play just about every day, and let's see what you can do.
Totally agree. I understand why Madden hasn't gone that way to this point, why last year you wanted to make sure you got the right matchups for him. But now it's time to find out. First of all, there's no better option at this point, especially with Zobrist having his back issue. You need to see if Elmora can be an everyday guy, not just hit against lefties. So I'm glad he's sticking with him another day. And like you, I hope it's a few more weeks at least.
It's the ideal lineup for them, right? The amount of young talent that they have possible. So Elmora, if they can input him in now, I mean, you're setting up your lineup for the rest of the season. You can still tinker around in April. This is that construction, that roster tinkering you have.
I mean, you know what he can do on defense. He's great in center field, but now is the perfect time to put him up there with Hap struggling and them trying to let him figure things out with Chili Davis. There's really no better time for him to really break out.
Right. Give him an opportunity. Let's see what you can do, kid. And I like Javi Baez in the two spot.
Right now, especially. He's the second hottest hitter on the team, maybe the hottest, but with
Chris Bryant.
Him and Bryant are your two best hitters right now. So let's run with it until it doesn't work anymore. And maybe Baez has finally figured something out here.
Let me paint a scenario. Elmora struggles. Who's your next option as leadoff? You going back to Hap? You putting Schwarber back up there? Chris Bryant? What would you do?
I think if he's healthy, Zobrist. I think he's shown that he can produce there, but that's a big if he can
stay healthy at his age.
There's no obvious guy who's next. I mean, that is a problem that this team has. I thought early in the year that Addison Russell was looking very leadoff hitter-ish. He's struggled a little bit recently, but maybe it'd be worth giving him a try. I know people would go crazy if you put Schwarber back up there, but Schwarber has been getting on base.
What about Chris Bryant?
I'd be all for it. It'd be interesting to see what you do after that. Does Rizzo bat second in that scenario? Maybe Baez is still hot there. So, look, there's no obvious choice, and that is a problem for the Cubs. but they do have a couple other things they could look at.
Probably go back to Hap at this point. He's still a young player. You can try it out. Again, it's that April tinker, and it's that roster where you see how everything plays out. I mean, you want everything set by the summer, ideally so.
So you can get
locked. You're buying time until Bryce Harper takes that spot, Cap.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm hearing he wants to come now. He's saying the next. You know what? I'm just going to go now and come to Chicago.
Make the deal.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's talk about Jake Arrieta, the former Cub, now pitching for the Philadelphia Phillies, was magnificent last night. He was a 10-strikeout machine. His ERA is now 2.04 in three starts, and he had everything working yesterday.
He looked great. He looked like you saw him pitching, you're like, oh, man, you missed that Jake Arrieta. There's going to be a lot of that. Jake Arrieta was still a very good pitcher for the Cubs last year. They didn't let him go because he was all of a sudden bad. They liked Yu Darvish better, a decision I agree with. I think it's way too early to say, oh, there's a screw-up there. But Jake Arrieta is going to have plenty of outings this year that make Cubs fans miss him a lot, and yesterday was a good example of that.
Right, and it wasn't just about this season. It's about the future, not wanting to lock him down for that long of a contract. I mean, they obviously have a ton of intel on him as a pitcher, and obviously they weren't confident enough in what he could be in the coming years.
Yeah, we still have to see more out of Yu Darvish. And he doesn't like pitching in cold weather. The weather hasn't been cooperative, but Arrieta looks like a beast right now.
Arrieta looks like the guy from 2015, and they've caught rather like early 2015, and the guy who had in the wild card game. But with Darvish, again, like you to your point, where it's the cold weather, you wanted to see him get comfortable. You want to see him in an atmosphere where he has the capabilities to bring him in as this star pitcher, that the number two or the number three, depending on how you slot it and let him get to work.
Yeah, once the weather turns, and I think we're getting there, then I want to see how this guy pitches.
Yeah, I mean, their schedules are all messed up. Pitchers are creatures of habit. I mean, they're getting more rest than they're used to. And I think it's just throwing everyone off.
We'll see. We already know the Bears' schedule and that they will go 16-0, my friends.
Bears.
What we don't know, Bears, is who will be the first-round pick on the undefeated 2018 Super Bowl champions. Will Ryan Pace need to trade up again to get his guy?
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pac wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
NFL Draft is next Thursday night. You can join us at Buffalo Wings and Rings in Bridgeport for our authentic fan draft night. It starts with a beer money taping at 5:30. That's followed by Sports Talk Live on location. And then it's live NFL Draft reaction with Lawrence Holmes, Alex Brown, and many more. All right, Quentin Nelson, Bradley Chubb, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Roquan Smith, Tremaine Edmonds. Who is going to be there when the Bears pick at number 8? Will they even keep that pick? Go up? Go down? Ryan Pace has gone up the last 2 years. Do you think he's picking at 8?
If he wants to trade up, it has to be where Bradley Chubb is available at number 7. Two slots, they can't afford any more, giving up any more draft assets than maybe one of their two fourth-rounders this year. I see them staying at number 8, and I see them taking someone like Edmonds or Roquan Smith. It really depends on who they prefer, if they want the polished immediate impact guy, or if they want Edmonds, let him season for a year or so, and then he's the guy that has the higher ceiling and is the superstar, because I think he's an athletic freak.
I think he might trade down. I think, they talk so much about building through the draft, and I think that extra pick or maybe two could really make a difference to them.
To someone who might want a quarterback that's up there.
Yeah, exactly.
If only three quarterbacks are taken ahead of them, I hope it's possible they trade down. I hope they don't, because there should be a really good player available at number 8.
There should.
They're in a great spot right now, considering they took their quarterback last year. And you can get one of those linebackers or Nelson if he drops just by sitting at 8. And those are all impact-type guys. So I hope they stay where they are, unless, like Robert said, Chubb's available at 7, then maybe you try to move up to take him.
Would you be okay if Ryan Pace traded up in the first round? That is our Ankenlaw poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote.
Look, here's my take on it. He can't give up a ton of capital to go, I got to get Bradley Chubb, and I'm moving up to three or wherever he
It's a good player, but he's not a quarterback. But you make that type of move for a QB.
Right. Now, this guy puts QBs on their backside, but he doesn't have the draft capital to go get him. Now, if he's there at seven, I don't know what Tampa would demand to be able to give that guy to the Bears. They don't. He's going to get a good player. If four quarterbacks go ahead and Saquon Barkley and Bradley Chubb, we are down to you're going to get either Minka Fitzpatrick, Denzel Ward, Roquan Smith, Tremaine Edmonds, or
I throw Derwin James
or Quentin Nelson. One of them. Derwin James is another one. So one of those guys is yours.
Right.
So would I trade back? Maybe in that scenario, maybe to 12 to the Bills. 15 to Arizona. I don't want to go below that level. I don't.
Not if one of those guys, which they will be, if one of those players, those are impact guys. And if you can grab one of them, yeah, you take them. Now, if you're only sliding down to 10, 11, maybe even 12, okay. But any further than that, I would not make that move.
Would you?
Possibly. I mean, they have a lot of more flexibility because they have Trubisky. They have their guy for the future. So I don't know. I could see Pace going either way, honestly.
You know, the funny thing is we had Lewis Riddick on the radio. We had Mel Kiber. Both said if Trubisky's in this draft, he probably goes number one.
More than likely. To that 2-4 quarterbacks point, so if Lamar Jackson's the fifth guy, right? So I don't think New England's going to trade up to number 8 overall. They have the number 23 and number 31. That's one scenario you have. You have Arizona that might need a young quarterback. That's the most likely scenario here. That's number 15. I'm not uncomfortable with number 15. Number 15, you still might be able to get Edmonds. You still might be able to get Smith, depending on how things shake out. You might take your right tackle of the future, Mike McGlinchey. And the Cardinals will probably fit really well with Jackson in that respect if we're going off that trade-down scenario.
Yeah. Who's your guy? Because last year you were all on board with
Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
Because I never thought they'd take a quarterback.
So who are you with this year that you'll change on the day after they take someone else?
Oh, it doesn't matter. whoever they end up drafting, I'll flip. You know that. Look, if you told me they can get Bradley Chubb, yeah, I'm all in. Quentin Nelson, I'm all in. If those guys are gone and you think both of them might be, I love Roquan Smith.
What if Nelson and Smith are both on the board?
I think you take Nelson.
I'd probably go Quentin Nelson. He's a beast.
And it helps your young QB.
And it helps my young QB, keeps him upright. And I'm, you know, playing a team that has Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. You've got – the league is different now. The tackles are so big and so good. This guy is an absolute animal.
It also allows you to put Cody White here at center and say, that's your position. You don't have to move him around back and forth.
The thing is, though, this draft is so deep at guard and in the interior, they can get that guy in the second round. I think it behooves them more to take someone on the edge. If they can get Chubb or if they can get someone like Edmonds who can possibly rush the passer. They can get someone like Isaiah Wynn at 39 if they stay there. They can get someone like Will Hernandez possibly.
What about the kid from UTSA?
Marcus Davenport was actually someone I'd probably consider in the league as well. That's because a lot of people are going to see him as a reach. But with Fangio and with him being an overall complete football player, I know that's a non sequitur, but Davenport, I think, is a guy that Pace probably it fits his profile too. Really, really raw, but ultimately fits a need. I mean, that's what Trubisky and Floyd were, raw, but they fit a need, and you can coach them up.
We need to find out which of these players drives the oldest car, because we know Ryan Pace values
Correct.
That.
Right, who has a brown
Trubisky's
Toyota Camry.
Now.
Yeah, 1990.
Will you drive that from San Antonio? Okay, we're good.
Because we know that's something that they're going to be looking for.
Right.
Yeah.
There's got to be some restaurant where he got a table under James McMahon or Daniel Hampton or
have
whatever.
Zetterman start calling restaurants to or Cooper, one of those guys, get on it, come
All
on.
All around the country. Look, I have this team, and I know the schedule came out, and there's a lot of Bear angst out there, and I'm seeing, oh, they'll win four games, they'll win three, they'll win five, they'll win, big year, they'll win six. David Hall has them at six. I've got them as a 9-7 football team. Where do you have them?
I would have to go 8-8, I think. I think they'll improve a lot, but I think there will still be a little bit of growing pains just working in Nagy's new system and kind of gelling with the new receivers that they've got.
Where do you have them?
Let me say, first of all, I think going through a record schedule 5 months in advance and predicting a record is one of the
right,
most.
Without knowing who they even draft.
Even you can't predict these games a second before they start, let alone 5 months. It's one of the most ridiculous things we do as sports fans. Yeah. That being said, I have them at 7-9.
8-8. I think they're going to be a better team, but that doesn't necessarily have to reflect on them being a playoff contender. They're going to be relevant in December. They have more pieces. They have a head coach that's actually innovative and energetic. Any loss is where you see maybe that team's beatable. That'll be more to them, just a schedule loss or growing pains and that kind of stuff. Right.
It's April, and you know who has arrived. That's right, playoff Rondo. He and a beardless Nikola Mirotic had the Pelicans just one win away from a stunning sweep. So, Bulls fans, do you miss them?
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pac wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Well, playoff Rondo, just first of all, he had a wide open layup there, so just take the ball to the rim, but he always likes making the extra pass. Playoff Rondo and playoff Mirotic have the Pelicans just rolling. I watched that game last night for a long time. That offense is so much fun to watch. They get after it.
Yeah, Rondo, if you take it back to it, he still has the creativity, he still has the playmaking ability. When he's on, when the pressure's on, he always seems to be able to rise to the occasion.
If he didn't break his hand last year, do the Bulls end up knocking the Celtics out, and who knows, is he still here?
I don't think they end up winning that series, but it would have made it.
Jimmy might still be here.
Nothing surprising.
I don't know. I think the answer to both those questions is no. I don't think they would have won that series, and I don't think he would still be here. If they had won the series, that might have changed their offseason plans. But who knows? He had a great start to that series, but the Celtics were terrible in those first couple of games. I'm not sure that would have lasted even with Rondo in the lineup.
Are you shocked that Mirotic looks as good as he does? I mean, he's playing like a beast.
No. I mean, I think the change of scenery probably had a lot to do with that. I think there was just you saw how him and Portis kind of.
I love him without the beard, too.
looks
really good.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was just good to get away from the toxic.
He played well here, though, too, this year. I mean, he was having a good season.
He was much better.
Yeah, so they didn't move him because he was bad. They moved him because they're rebuilding and his contract.
And they got a first-round pick
for him. Right. Absolutely. He's the skilled player, but you have to get draft picks. You have to set up for the future.
Set up and rebuild. All right, gang, thank you for being here. Have a great weekend. That is a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Baseball night in Chicago with Layla is next. Then it's Sox and Astros at 7. Have a great weekend. We'll see you right back here on Monday. Hey, thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.